Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here,
hey,
y'all.
It's your girl, D. Scott. So, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Stanley and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh, no, I don't know people that look like that. Shit, yes, you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. It's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. It is March the 23rd, my mama's birthday. And I actually, it's interesting because I was talking to my aunt last night from Pittsburgh. You guys know that, you know, I just came back from Pittsburgh. And I was talking to her yesterday, and she says, yeah, you know, and tomorrow's your mom's birthday. And I was like, oh my God, it sure is. And it's funny because if you listen to my show, Queen Shit, and then you listen to the show that I'd actually just done the day before, you would clearly notice that Satan was within me on that Tuesday, and I don't apologize for that. I really don't, because I think that sometimes people think that just because you've been able to maintain and to tame your demons, that they don't exist. Nah, motherfucker, they exist. Just don't kick sleeping lions and tigers and bears and shit. Don't do that. You know what I mean? And because I'm a female, you know, I don't know what certain people expected me to do, but that was the retaliation that they got, and now it's a done deal for me, because I realized that I gave a lot of people a lot of attention that they didn't deserve and that they didn't work for. And I work for every bit of attention, you know, that I get, because I travel, because I meet people, because I forge relationships with people, and I try to keep things going. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, I wanted to do this year to commemorate my mother was every month, and this year, for my birthday, I said, we got to live the party another day. So it can't be that I just go out, I pop a bunch of bottles on, you know, a Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday, Saturday. Nah, I want to live to party another day, and I like to party out of town. So, you know, I said that this year, 2015, every month of this year, I was going to go somewhere. You know what I mean? So January, we went up to Toronto. It was our first really kind of big gig with our, not with Rodeo Promo, but in conjunction with Rodeo Promo for the Dej Lo fabulous concert that was up in Toronto. So that's what we did in January. February was too brick fucking cold, so we couldn't go anywhere. I think I put less than 100 miles on my truck in the entire month. March, obviously, we were in California. And then I obviously just had to go up to Pittsburgh last week. So, you know, maybe that'll count for February. And we celebrated my uncle's 60th birthday. My mother would have been 59 years old today. And so, you know, the show is called Dear Mama. And she passed away 2 years ago. And she, you know, she suffered immensely. And we'll get into that when, you know, when the book comes out that I'm writing about her. Because there's a lot of twists, there's a lot of turns. We got the opportunity to meet her sister. So I said, as her daughter, as her oldest daughter, I wanted to commemorate her by being able to do things that she was unable to do because she was ill, because she was sick. And so I was able to do that. I'm going to Kentucky Derby in April. You know, in 2 weeks, I'm, you know, going down to Houston to take my son to see, you know, his dad, my ex-husband. He has a new little sister down there. And, you know, I would never want those children to be raised like they weren't real sisters and brothers, whether they lived, you know what I'm saying, in the same city or not. Right after Houston, we're leaving, we're going to Atlanta to see my son's surrogate grandparents. I talk about them in my book, Stay in Your Lane, A Diary of a Hot Mess, available on Amazon and Kindle. Or you can go on my website, which is www.stayinyourlane123.com. So, you know, I'm doing a lot of things to commemorate and keep relationships going that my mother, you know, would have wanted to see. You know, I got to meet my mother's sister. So she's the younger sibling of my mother, Tiffany, on the West Coast in Laguna Beach. She lives out there. They look a lot alike. They're built a lot alike. And I realized in speaking to family members that I've never met, but we always knew they existed, which is very odd because, you know, it was like we would get the cards and we would get, you know, the birthday, you know, gift cards and the presents and everything like that. And we always knew that I had an aunt that was a year or two older than me. I had an uncle that was younger than me. You know, I had another aunt that was like 5 years older than me. And to sit down and talk to them and see that their family dynamic was not that much different from ours growing up, it just makes you, you know, either see the generational blessing or the generational curse, you know. In my own family, you know, I have to look at the fact that there's four of us, and then I have, you know, my stepbrothers and sisters. And so when you look at the dynamic between my sister and my one brother, the oldest boy, you know, we're very tight. You know, we know that on 4th of July, on Thanksgiving, on Easter, on Christmas, we go to mom's house. And, you know, now since she's been gone, I've also carried on that tradition where I cook everything, where it would be before she was so ill. And she wouldn't allow you in the kitchen. She'd be like, nah, get out of here. Let me finish. And you're like, but Ma, you keep falling asleep. Or Mom, you keep, you know what I mean? So I've handled that tradition. You know, we could have just threw the towel in and said, forget it. And then, you know, there's the one brother, you know. And I learned a valuable lesson today. And it was brought to me by someone that I considered a friend. But or we'll say an affiliate. We'll say an associate. And I learned that I'm sorry doesn't absolve everything all the motherfucking time. It really just doesn't. And I think that people overuse apologies. You know, they overuse I'm sorry because you think that just because you put that on a big old bowl of shit, that that means that that's not shit anymore. It's glitter. No, it's still shit. So whether you said I'm sorry or not, it doesn't matter. And I just told my son today, you know, when you have something that's wrong, Manny, I said, you know, boom, I said, the worst thing you could do is wait to apologize. You're supposed to nip that shit in the bud immediately, because then that's when it's the most sincere, because you didn't know that you offended the person. Don't offend a motherfucker and then go back and then say, sorry, if I offend you, trust me, I meant to fucking do it. If I said that I hope you fall down 3 flights of stairs and break your fucking ankles off, I probably meant it. I really did. So I'm not going to apologize for that. I don't care if I hurt your feelings, because you obviously have done something to me that hurt my little feelings. So why all of a sudden now we have to apologize? And so I learned today that some people are just are who they are. You know, so when it comes to family, you have to look at it and just be like, well, that's him. Doesn't mean that it's acceptable. This shit is completely unacceptable, you know. But unfortunately, that's my sibling, so nothing changes for me. You know, and I also noticed that this week it's like people are treading on eggshells with me. And this is before I even, you know, realized that my mom's, you know, birthday was today. And, you know, everybody breaks down. You have a little cry. You know, you have a little cry. You have a little breakdown, because I'm not one of those girls or one of those women that would ever question whether my mother was proud of me or not. She was. I knew when she passed that she was proud of me. I know that she's proud of me now, you know, and I think it's important to continue to make her proud of me. Do I think that she would be proud of the way that one of my siblings is behaving? No. But would she be shocked? No. You know, and it's unfortunate that we don't, you know, want to tell the truth about shit. And that's part of mental illness, is that when we keep lying about shit and covering shit up and saying, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay that you did X, Y, and Z, and I'm not in the business of putting my family business out there, because that's my family. So irregardless as to if they choose to do that to me, or if they choose to go tell people that we've never met about things that go on in my house, and then I got to hear about it when I'm on the West Coast, you know, from somebody that I just met, that's not appropriate. But if that's what you choose to do, that's not what I choose to do. And, you know, something else that was bothering me this week was that, you know, I was thinking about how my mother raised us, you know, and I was thinking about there are certain traditions that we upheld year after year after year. And I think that a lot of people take for granted their elders. And a lot of people, like, I absorbed a lot of information from my mom. She literally was my stylist before I even, I mean, obviously a seamstress. She's a woman that, you know, used to sew my prom dresses and made, you know, a lot of my clothes and my sundresses when I was younger. And even as I got older. So if I put something on, she'd be like, no, you need to have that taken in. So even when her hands, because of the arthritis, because of the carpal tunnel, couldn't fix themselves to be able to sew me anything, she would take it in and then have me take it to my tailor to have them fix it so that I'm not out here embarrassing her. That was my mother's biggest thing. Don't be out here embarrassing me, you know. So I don't think that my mother at all will be embarrassed by anything that my brothers and I are doing right now. I know that she would be happy, and I just feel the spirit of her when I'm trying to make these moves and just trying to be conscious and listen to the universe to guide me, you know, the way that I'm supposed to be. And if it's not, I'm just to the place right now in life where when things start weighing on me, it's not that I'm just so reckless with my mouth and I'm so vicious. I got to tell you right up front, hey, fuck off. Or, hey, I don't fuck with you, because I'm not going to waste the energy that I could be putting on something else on it. I just had a conversation, you know, with somebody, and I'm not going to get into it, but he apologized for not being able to go pick up a gift. And the gift had been sitting there for 4 days. Now, this is, you know, in another state. I was unable to make the party. So because I was taught by my mother, you know, in your absence, you send a gift or something like that, you know, whatever. So I had a bottle of Macallan 12, Sherry Oak, and then I had a bottle of Veuve Clicquot. And, you know, put the card out, whatever, because I figured, you know, that you got a little, everybody deserves champagne on their birthday. I believe that. I drink it all the time, but especially on the birthday. And he's somebody that I admire in the industry. And he was unable to go pick it up. Now, this isn't this first offense. This is like the fourth time that he had done something that was inconsiderate with time, or wasn't returning a phone call, or didn't finish a piece of work, or didn't wear something that I custom designed for him. And if he did wear it, I didn't know about it, knowing that I run a business, knowing that, you know, I'm a mom and I'm, you know, I'm a mompreneur and I'm out here doing things. So you start to get the gist that, like, some people really don't give a fuck. They really don't. And they're okay with that until it's convenient for them. And so today I find out that he took a flight to go somewhere else, and he sends me, you know, a text and he's apologizing. I'm like, you know, you don't have to apologize for being you, you know. We all make time for things that we feel are important. And to segue back to my, you know, my sibling, you know what I mean? If it was important to you, you would have came here. So my thing with the gift is someone's giving you a gift. It's not like it was in South Africa and you had to board two private jets to go get it. You could have sent an intern then. You could have done many things to get the gift. And I get it. I'm not taking it personally. And that's another thing that I had to learn from my mother, is not to take things personally. Some people just don't like you. Some people don't want anything to do with you. And people are not like us, meaning, you know, I can go and have friends, but there's just, you know, my friends are just built a little bit different. You know, we don't take from people. We are trying to be respectful of people's times, and if we fuck up, we fix it. And that's in any relationship, whether it's your interpersonal relationship, your sibling relationship, your lover relationship. You fuck up, you fix it immediately. Sorry doesn't fucking fix it all the time, though. It really doesn't. So I got to hear that you couldn't go pick this gift up for days. Not 1 or 2 days, for days. And then I hear that, you know, pretty much in a sub punch in the face, he tried to say that, I'm sorry if you felt that it was convenient, because it wasn't. Okay, bitch. Well, that's fine. You know what I mean? I will have them send it to me. I'm actually just going to gift it to my uncle. But the thing of it is that it was a nice gesture, and then it goes into, you know, me on Facebook asking black men, what exactly is it that you fucking want? What do you want? And this is not even somebody that I was dating. This is not somebody that I was dating. This is somebody that we worked together. You know, we did a little project. He never finished it. I had to call someone in for the edit. This is someone that I did a couple custom pieces for, which it would have been nice if he would have, you know what I'm saying, took a picture in it, even if he didn't post it. I'm good on that. And just sent it to me so that I can have it, whatever, whatever. This is someone that I always came bearing gifts, and I just found out that I'm just about to start living in the wish-a-bitch woods. I really am. I wish a bitch would ever, and men could be bitches too, say that black women are not doing this and black women are not doing that. You black men do not fucking respect us enough when we try to show you something that's a little bit different. Maybe because I'm not naked. I don't know. But then again, this is me getting personal. Maybe because, you know, every one of my posts isn't, because I don't have a fat ass. I don't know. Maybe because, you know, I kept everything professional. We are very professional. I respect what he does, and maybe he respects what I do. I don't know. But I know that I was taught that in the end, I'm always going to fucking win. And so sometimes the way to win is to walk away. You know, just like there's a whole bunch of turmoil and shit going on right now. And I said, I don't give a damn if those people called my mama out her name on her birthday. I'm not addressing certain people about certain things because to me, you're like dead fish in the water. Let the other fucking sharks have at you. You know what I mean? I came, I saw, I devoured. That's it. I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life. There's nothing else to say. You know, now if you wanted to apologize, that's different. But because it's, you know, days and days later, I'm not into an apology right now. I think an apology, there's an art to it. And for a lot of people, it really makes and breaks their life. Like, there are people that are like, no, I want them to public apology and blah, 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 blah. I don't give a fuck. You ain't got to never speak to me ever again. None of them. And that goes for a sibling, that goes for any of them, because at the end of the day, I have remained the same. I am a gift giver. That is what I like to do. And let me just disclaimer this, because there's a lot of people that think that I be, you know, oh, when she, you know, no. I, you know what I'm saying, don't like problems, but I love, you know, Christmas, and I love gift giving, and I love, you know, people's birthdays, and I think that people should be made to feel special. And a lot of what's going on lately is that there's a lot of men that are there's a lot of men that are going around with this fucking woe is me mentality. Woe is me, nobody loves me. Woe is me, I can't find no good woman. Woe is me, why God forsake me? Woe is me, get the fuck out of here. Woe is you, fuck off. The bottom line is that you guys sit up there and you always like what's glittery, right? I'm not glitter, I'm like fucking tin foil. Okay, Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, I'm fucking tinfoil until it's time to pull the fucking glitter out. And then it's fucking everywhere. Then you can't get away from it if you try it. It's all over your clothes. It's everywhere. Because I live to infect people with what I'm saying and with what I'm doing and with my movement. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't, you know, so it's not my problem if when I was tinfoil, you didn't see me because I wasn't shiny enough. Didn't mean I wasn't shiny. It just means that I wasn't shiny enough for you, because every day you see glitter, right? And so when I pull my glitter out, when I pull my motherfucking Michael Jackson glove out, now all of a sudden y'all, you know, y'all act like, oh, wow, well, you know, if I would have known, oh, man, fuck you, because you know what? Y'all the same dudes that we was all cool. Let's just keep it there. You understand what I'm saying? So don't woe is me and woe is us talking about where the good women at. We right here in the fucking aluminum foil box. Okay, while you over there looking at Tinseltown and fucking glitter, because let me tell you something about glitter. You can't, listen, you know how hard it is to maintain glitter on a daily basis? It gets expensive, it gets messy, and then you start recycling glitter. I'll be fucking aluminum foil, tin foil all fucking day. Just shiny enough and out the box that you know I'm here, and I got that little razor strip that'll cut you if you use me the wrong way. I don't need to be glitter all the time. And not only that, if you can't see, you know, my intent, if you can't see my heart, if you can't see that I'm naturally, you know, don't have to do certain things to my face or to my body or to my hair, this is not my fucking problem. And a lot of women, we have to stop at saying shit like, what am I doing wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. If no one chose you, that's their fucking problem. It's not my problem. You know, if you don't like me, fuck you. I like me. I don't, listen, people are like, but you know, it's nice to have someone at night. Man, listen, I'm involuntarily celibate, okay? It's nice to have a whole lot of things like a negative AIDS test. That's nice to have. And make sure that all my sexually transmitted disease tests come back negative. That's nice. It's nice to know that when I go to bed at night, I'm not being cheated on. It's nice to know that I don't have to worry about waking up to, you know, Instagram tags on some dumb shit that a motherfucker did. You know, those are all nice things too. So I'll stay over here and I'll be aluminum foil and I'll come out the box when I fucking need to. But again, it's not my problem if you don't see me and my friends or me and the group of women, because it's not just me. I got a whole squad of females that's doing 10 times better than me. We all, you know, everybody works out. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's, you know, got good jobs and all this other stuff. And y'all don't have shit to say to us. So like I said, and I don't want to hear, you must be looking around. I'm not fucking supposed to look for you. So you want to talk to me about the Bible, okay, in my mouth. I'm not supposed to look for no man. He who finds a wife. Take it all the way back. Don't talk to me about what I'm supposed to be looking for. I'm in my box. I'm fucking aluminum foil. Don't say nothing to me, okay? But like I said, you know, it gets exhausting trying to be glitter every day for motherfuckers that's out here being goddamn, you know, plastic. You know, so why am I going to put on my good glitter for you for? You know what I mean? So it gets unfortunate when I miss out on dating opportunities because someone was looking for glitter and then didn't happen to see my glitter until weeks later. You know what I mean? Or a month later. And now I don't like you because I'm aluminum foil. I just want to be in my box chilling. And now you want to come over here when I'm glitter. No, no, no. You should have caught me when I was at aluminum foil. When I was just shiny, I was just shiny enough. I don't get up every day and dress, you know, for men. I get up and I dress for me. When I have a man, absolutely. Whatever you want me to wear, babe, I'm going to wear it, in or out the house. But I do what I want right now. And let me be clear about something else. Single does not mean motherfucking alone. Somewhere along the line, y'all got very, very confused about the difference between being single and alone. And let me tell you something. I just saw a guy post the other day. He said, I'm single and I'm unavailable. I ain't fucking with none of y'all. And I thought that was great. Shout out tonight to Tito's Vodka, made in Austin, Texas, home of South by Southwest, which we will be there hopefully next year doing vending. And later on tonight, we have Zach from Vancouver that actually flew into town to Toronto to attend the Soul Exchange event that was headed up by Soul Exchange Canada, Soul Exchange Toronto, as well as Young Jaffe. And so right now what I want to do, you know, while we're still talking about mamas, and I'm waiting on my Miss Keisha, my sissy, to call me, talk about her mama. But obviously I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start the segment with a Tupac, Dear Mama.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet?
Come on, and I'd be like, no, not going to be able to do it today. And then there's another one. Somebody else sings a song about their mom. I think it's J. Cole. And I was like, no, not going to be able to do that today. So I'm just not able to listen to it and, you know, get the whole grasp. And he's saying, you know, you are appreciated. And I know that my mom left this earth knowing she was appreciated and knowing that, you know, she at least was strong enough to raise me to a point where I was going to be able to carry on that matriarchal gene into the little girls, you know, my nieces, and then to my brothers that, you know, of course, we, let me tell you something, my brothers and my sister, they don't call the police, they call me. They don't call the bank, they call me. They don't call a counselor, they call me. And I'm thankful that I'm that strong to them, that they feel like, let me call my sister first. You know what I mean? And that I'm grateful for, because, you know, you meet a lot of wishy-washy motherfuckers in life, and it's you're supposed to always be able to go back to your family. And then, you know, that my grandmother is in poor health, and this is the woman that my mother modeled a lot of her matriarchal ways after, which is why we're doing the renovations on my mother's house, to be able to, you know, which she owns it, but we're doing the renovations on it for it to be a haven for the kids if they ever need to come back, or, you know, the grandkids or whatever needs to happen, because that's how the Arringtons, you know, their home was set up in Pittsburgh. You know, you're talking 6-7 bedrooms and, you know, 3 bathrooms in a yard overlooking, you know, the south side. So, you know, it just... it makes me, I think I'm in a better place now than I was maybe 2 years ago. I just was really angry. And I think that I spent, you know, I don't think, I know I spent a lot of time in therapy. You know, I was medicated at one point because I was really going to fuck somebody up. I really was, because I'm starting to learn that the idea of hypocrisy really bothers me. And it's something that it's almost like a rash. And if I feel like you're a full of shitter, then I'm going to just have to say some shit to you, because I live out loud. So LOL, I live out loud. So nobody really, I don't think in the history of life, can really come forward and say, well, she used to do this. So what, motherfucker? I said that shit on page 47. Well, she did this. So what? I said that shit on page 92. You understand what I'm saying? I'm full disclosure, because I never wanted to be that writer or that chick that, you know, ended up on television or ended up on a reality show and then y'all dig up my mugshot. You know what I mean? And I have one. I think I have two. But, you know, or somebody be like, you know, she, you know, the way that she got her money was this. Nah, motherfucker, not today. You understand what I'm saying? So I always am cautious when putting out information. If you go back and you look at my post from 2 years ago, I used to, if it's funny, a lot of people didn't catch this. I used to be like, fuck everybody, I hope you die today. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, it goes back to the power of words. My mother, the day she passed, the last thing that I said to her, she was, you know, very erratic. She was, you know, up. She was, you know, pacing around the house, and she had made my son pancakes, and she's never up at that time. You know, I just, you know, worked the night before, and I came and I said, Mom, I said, you need to go to sleep. You know, you need to go to sleep. And so I'm always glad that that was the last thing that I said to her, as opposed to some of the other shit that I've said to her and walked out of her home. Or, you know, I'm glad that, you know, my brother, my one brother, the most angry and hurt of us all, made peace with her before she left this earth. I'm glad that my son was able to see her on her good days for, you know, for who she was, and then, you know, was able to quickly forget her on her bad days. And one of the things I taught my son about mental illness and just that illness in general, as I said, you know, it's like demons, and she's sick. You have to treat it no different than if she had a cold or if her arm was amputated. You know, she's got her hands tied in certain things that she can do, and we have to forgive her because that's your grandmother, you know. And there's a lot of things that went on that caused that, that caused her. You know, you got to look at, you know, I have to look at my mom and I have to say, Jesus, like, how would you, like, I don't even know what I would have done, because it's just, it feels like for her, because sometimes I tried to take the pain. You know, you're the oldest, that's what you do. Or you're the most responsible, and that's what you do. You try to take your parents' pain for them, and it is an awful, awful burden to bear to deteriorate like that from someone that was just, she was so pretty. And I'm getting upset, and that's okay. This will be the only motherfucking show you see me get emotional, because my mama, you know. And I know some people called and made sure I was okay, and I am okay. But I feel it's important, because normally I don't get emotional like this, but I feel it's important because I want y'all to know I'm not that strong. I'm not unbreakable. I'm just a woman, just a girl, just a daughter, a mother. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm an aunt, you know. And we break too. And sometimes I would take that for her, because I wanted her to have a good day, you know? So I'll let her say whatever she was going to say, or do whatever she was going to do. And I would just sweep it under the rug. And as you watch your mother deteriorate from a 4'11", 90-pound Spitfire, hair down to her waist, always in a ponytail like mine, to about 160 pounds, unhealthy. Didn't care about her looks anymore. She cut all her hair off. She didn't do her hair. Bedridden. Drinking on a level that probably contributed to her death. And I don't understand that kind of pain, you know? So I feel like if maybe y'all see it, I'm just like everybody else, you know? Some people lose their mom to cancer or to car accidents or drunk driving, but I had to watch her die like that for like 30 years, you know? And the last years it got really bad, and it was to the place where her demons would fuck with mine, because I felt like she wanted me to kill her. I really do. She wanted me to kill her. She wanted me to lay my hands on her in a way that would take her off the earth. But that's not my mother. That was the illness. That was, you know, her sickness. And I made a post about the fact that we need to have more mental health outreach in the minority communities. And Jody Glass Chapman, all the way from Australia, chimed in and said it needs to be in all communities. And she lost her mother, I'm sure, from a similar situation. But what I said to her was that in the minority community, we are a very religious or, you know, prove to me community. And where I feel as white people will sit at a dinner table, you know, with a glass of wine and be like, oh, my God, I just came from seeing Dr. So-and-so. And, oh, yeah, you know, I see him too. And what's he prescribing you? And what's he prescribing you? And I feel like, you know, we as black people, we don't do that. What we will do is go buy a bottle of vodka or a gallon of vodka, and we will self-medicate. Now, let me be clear about some shit before y'all go in. I am not self-medicating. There is no way in hell that I could go run 9 and 10 miles a night if I'm drinking every day and if I'm, you know, doing all this. I'm having vodka this evening, which I really don't drink, to commemorate my mother. So let's be clear on that shit before y'all, you know, some of y'all just sitting up there like, oh, my God, she's admitting to. I don't have an alcohol or a drug problem. I don't smoke weed. I don't pop pills. I'm not even on the fucking psychiatric medication that I'm supposed to be on to stop, you know, the small seizures that I, not real like grandma seizures, but the seizures that I was having due to my neurological damage that I had, which led me to have post-traumatic stress disorder, which, again, we'll put that all in the book when it comes out. I wanted to talk about my mom as well, because I don't think that my stepfather really knew how bad it was, you know, until we had to hospitalize her. And so, you know, they've been married, you know, 18 years, but I've been her daughter, you know, way longer than that. And my mom has done some serious shit. And my pain is that I just don't understand how somebody could be so hurt, and people all around that were older than her, or her relative didn't help her. And so I really, that fucks with me a lot, because if my son even says some off-the-wall shit, you going to therapy. You won't be medicated, but you going to therapy, you know. And if I feel like I'm losing control, I still see a therapist. I've been in therapy for years. If I hadn't, some of y'all would be knocked the fuck out. Like, straight up, your chiclets would be down your fucking throat. And I'm not even, I can't even fight. But I, like I said before, I will hit you with my car. I put it to you like this. If I would put hands on my own mother to stop a situation, and I love my mother and would have died for her, trust me, I don't give a fuck about you. And that's where I'm at right now, which makes me a very dangerous individual, according to my therapist. Now, you know, I feel like I'm trying to get ready to write this book, and I just don't know what I could do that would make me feel like how she felt, to be abandoned, to feel unloved, to you know, have all these issues that she had to turn to a substance and then a liquid and then ultimately, you know, die because she was in pain. You know, and I don't believe in glorifying death if you didn't respect her in life. And so I stand by my decision to this day to not have certain members of her family, including her mother, not at the funeral. I've spoken to her sister, and I know that my mother would be happy about that. I've spoken to her other sister, my Aunt Jen. We had a real, you know, nice cordial conversation. I haven't called her back because, you know, they lived in two different worlds. You know, so my aunt, you know, although I'm sure she suffered, you know, somewhat a bit in childhood, not the same as my mom. And they're younger. She's 10 years younger than my mother. And this is my mother's 100% biological sister. I don't recall ever meeting her, you know, and I'm old as hell. So I just am fortunate that my siblings were not that way. And I had to tell my brother the other day, I said, look, nobody slept with nobody's wife. Ain't nobody stole no money from nobody. And ain't nobody hurt nobody's kids. We don't have any fucking problems. You know, there's a lot of families out there that have these types of problems, and we're not one of them. You know, so anything, you know, we can get through anything. You know, and so I know that my mother would be upset that we're not, you know, on real good speaking terms. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to beg nobody for their motherfucking time. And with my mom's sisters, I feel, well, her one sister, I want to have a relationship with her so that she can get to know my mother. Not so much so she can get to know me, but so that she can get to know my mother so that she understands why me, the oldest, made certain decisions that my mother would have wanted in death. And it wasn't anything personal. Nothing with me is really ever personal. If it's personal, I'll tell you. I'll be like, hey, I'm being petty today. But death is not something that you're petty over. When I said I didn't want them there, they were not there. I appreciate that fact, and then we'll, you know, sideline on. Now, then a lot of people said, well, that's cold. And I remember being in the funeral, and I remember somebody saying something, and I wish I knew who it was because I probably would have attacked them, but I had like 50 million people in there. And everybody takes death and dying differently, you know. So for me, I'm really still trying to get to this level of pain. And for me being a writer and being a visual writer and to try to perfect that in a book, I'm going to have to go and watch like 100 episodes of Intervention and just catch where I see that demon coming in and trying to, you know, take over another human being. And I think then I'll be able to access the level of pain that she was in. Because if you ever watch those Intervention shows, and I'm very careful with my imagery, I'm very careful with what I listen to, because it really does, that energy takes you someplace else. I had to stop watching Snapped. The TV show Snapped, I was getting fucking ideas and shit, like, damn, if she wouldn't have did this, she would have got off, you know. So I had to stop watching that, which is why I get a lot of flack, because I'm very public about the fact I watch a lot of reality TV, because it's all fucking bullshit. It's all bullshit, it's all funny, but again, it's reality. It is somebody's reality, so we can sit there and talk about the housewives of, you know, Atlanta, that the shit ain't real. Well, shit, it's somebody's reality. Somebody is really living that way, so I feel like it's time for me to write the book. But what people don't understand is I'm a real writer. So I'm not going to ask your opinion about something and then write it down. I'm a real writer. I actually go into a cave, whatever that may be, finish Daniel Lane in an abandoned building, and I write. So for me to be my mom, that's like one of the greatest honors. But at the same time, I have to take on all that pain. And so I don't know what I'm going to look like after I take on all that pain. And so I'm trying to really be calm and you know, focus on how I'm going to be able to tell her story based on what other people say. And her story isn't even her story, because she was such a fucking mystery to a lot of people. That's just, imagine, it would be like me wanting to tell somebody to fuck off all day long, and I just don't tell them. And I'd be around this person every day, and I, you know what I mean? And they are nothing to me. They're not my boss. They're not anything. And I think that that's how my mother felt. I think that she had, like, 27,000 punches in the fucking face that needed to be delivered, and they never got delivered. And I think that she just walked around with them, and sometimes I got punched in the face, you know, literally. Sometimes, you know, it was something else. And so I don't ever want my listeners to feel like I'm so strong, because I'm really not. I'm just like y'all, you know. I cry sometimes. Y'all just don't see it. Like, if you saw me now, I'm an ugly crier, too. You know what I mean? Like, my face scrunches up and shit. Like, I'm not a cute crier. You know, we just weren't raised to publicly have emotional issues. So whether that's fighting in public or, you know, my mother just was really big on not being embarrassed in public. And unfortunately, you know, because I grew up watching her be so cool and controlled and hiding a lot of things that ended up killing her, I've learned to be really good at that. So, but that's why the brand Zero Fucks is so important, because the first thing out of my mouth, if you come at me or whatever, I'm going to say what I say, and I'm going to say, I don't give a fuck. I give zero fucks. And I have to be that way. So it's not because I'm mean. I am mean. I'm an asshole. Really, I am. But the thing is that if you're coming at me and you need something, I'm always there. As a woman, I stand up for us more than a lot of motherfuckers do. We don't even stand up for ourselves anymore. And so I take on that burden when I'm getting your emails and I'm getting your text messages that this guy fucked you over or that this guy's beating you up, and I'm telling you the services where you need to go and I'm telling you what to do. So then I end up bearing that burden when you don't leave and he smacks you up again. And then I end up bearing that burden when you don't listen to me, you don't let your kids see their father. And then I bear that burden again when, you know, you come to me and you talk to me about your daughter, but the mama don't like me, so she don't want the daughter to mentor under me. And then I bear that burden again when you come and you tell me that you have all these mental problems where I'm watching you deteriorate online, and I reach out to you and you shun me. So I carry those burdens as women. You know, some of y'all have y'all breakdowns every day on Facebook. This is mine, live on air. This is real. Okay. Now, I do it because obviously it's a live show, and I do it because that's how I'm fucking feeling today. Tomorrow, I'm probably going to rip somebody's throat out business-wise, but I'm always thinking about business because I want to make sure that I'm able to leave my son something, these girls something. You know, the Sherry Foundation, which was named after my mother, was founded to fund, whether it be the difference in medication price or books or whatever needs to be done, for kids that are college bound or kids that are already in college that have been pre-diagnosed that, you know, or diagnosed with any type of mental illness that are in an outpatient treatment program. So I wanted to be able to try to build that gap because some of the medications are time release. And if you don't, and trust me, they're $100 for a month's supply as opposed to $5 generic if you have insurance. So, you know what I mean? Like, I want to try to be able to fund that gap because the time release medication is needed for certain people with certain conditions because you won't be able to finish school. So I want to be able to at least sponsor one or two kids, you know, every year to be able to do that in my mother's name because she never got to finish college, you know. So everything that I do, let's just be clear, 99.999% of everything that I do has to do with business. So if you see, even if you see me eating a fucking ice cream cone, trust me, there's product placement in there. There's some sort of, just be like, I don't know if she's finna buy an ice cream truck. I don't know. I don't know what she's finna do, you know. So I, you know, like I said, I didn't realize I was going to break down today, but it's okay. You know, I'm a female. I'm still a girl, and I think that y'all forget that, some of you men, when you try to fucking come for me. Am I weak? Absolutely not. I'll still rip your whole fucking life up verbally. But I have to be strong because y'all are being so weak, some of y'all. And I'm going to say that, and I don't give a fuck what y'all think about it. I have to carry this burden because some of y'all are so weak. Some of y'all are leaving these little girls that they don't have dads. So instead of them, you know, being able to come to talk to you about some shit, they fucking old men. You know what I mean? And some of y'all women, y'all out here twerking on television, they fucking embarrassed and shit, can't get certain entry into certain schools because they mama is, you know, living life like I'm golden. Stop, Kiana, whatever the fuck y'all names be that you be putting on there. You can't do that. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I you know, I be liking little nasty shit at nighttime too on Instagram. But it goes with my brand, okay? Some of y'all can't portray certain things like you this God-fearing man and you this and you that, and you're not. And you're literally, we're having a race of babies that will hate the ladies. And that's what I do. I feel like you black men, I feel like you hate us. I really do. I really feel like y'all just leave us out here for nothing. And my daddy didn't do that. My daddy's not here. If my dad was here, I'm golden. But I feel like a lot of you black men, you know, you look at me like I'm this fucking monster and you created it. You're so disrespectful. You're so fucking considerate. You don't appreciate shit, okay? And I mean, I'm talking about, and everybody know I'll go back 20 years. Oh, no, it's just the guys you're dating. No, not at all, motherfucker. It's everybody. There is a huge fucking problem, and it goes back to the home. I am about families and putting families back together. So right now, we're going to keep in line with Tupac. Keep your head up. I need it.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne. To say the black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh and the deep of the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac cares, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. So please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. But don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be unhappy. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women. I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I hopped up about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream. I holler about the mic and make it to the right. My buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth is it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive cause it's a setup. If you fall complain, you were selfless. Hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside, but outside you're looking big. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, you're steady hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older.
Yeah, it's hard though. I mean, so every now and again, everybody's entitled. You know, you saw the monster last week, but just know that, you know, I taught my son a long time ago that, you know, all the villains, the Banes, the Jokers, and all those, you know, that you would see in the comic books, you know, I don't think that they were born that way. I think that after a series of events, they turned cold, they went bad, and then their way of thinking, although maniacal, came from somebody hurting them. And so I think that, you know, I think that it doesn't take away, you know, any points that I'm still a woman and that I still, you know, am reckless with my mouth. But I think it just goes to show you that, you know, you don't know what somebody's going through. I don't know, but I do pick up on energy. So that's why a lot of the girls that I work with or a lot of the women that I work with, it just, you know, they'll just come and they'll tell me shit. I might not have wanted to hear the shit that day, but I talk and I listen, or sometimes it'll be on me to give somebody a book. You know, it'll just be really on me, like, you know what, she need this book. And then out the blue, they'll come and they'll tell me later on. You know, I'm you know, just really ecstatic that I'm able to do what I love, but it comes with a price. You know, I just sat down and started reading the Pookie Chronicles. And I was telling Boom, I said, you know, I never read my own books. I was going crazy because I had no Wi-Fi today for like 5 hours. I don't know what happened with Time Warner. And I was telling Boom, I was like, I never sit down and read my own books. And he's like, well, Mama, you wrote the book, so why would you sit down and read it? And you wrote it, you know what's in it. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's probably why I don't read my own books. But, you know, I am excited about stuff that's coming up in the next few months. A lot of people know that I live my life out loud, but also project into the future. So right now in my mind, I'm in June, July. So I'm sitting here, I'm picking out wardrobe. I'm trying to make sure that things get ready for Kentucky Derby. I got Atlanta coming up, and I haven't even had to go and buy any new clothes or anything because I got so much goddamn clothes. And thank you guys for all the vintage. Whenever there's a vintage anything, whether it's furniture or clothing, everybody texts me or calls me or inboxes me, hey, there's a vintage this, and this. I'm like, please don't tell me none, no. I'm a big fan of vintage clothing, especially dresses, because back in the day, you know, women dressed. And so you would see even a lot of the Diane von Furstenberg type wrap dresses and things like that from the 70s and the 80s, and those fit me very, very well because I'm high-waisted, you know what I mean, and I have no hips at all. I'm built like a Chinese Mexican. So, you know, I always love vintage clothes, vintage finds. But it makes me feel good that I'm nice enough to people that they want to help me or they want me to help them. So I'm just very, very grateful for that. And so I thank anybody that ever bought any of my merchandise, any of my books, my team that stays down with me to keep me sane. Because as you can see, when I'm left to do shit on my own, I go from 0 to 100. But everybody should know that when it comes to family, that is the number one. You can't really hurt me by saying anything or doing anything else but family. But I had to learn again today that, you know, even in a situation, if somebody was to call out my mother, I have to be able to look at that situation and walk the fuck away, because now you know my weakness is my family. And so some people will try to attack you based on that weakness. They'll get fucked up in the long run, because what I do to retaliate is people just talk shit. I do shit. You know, what I do is so horrible that in the end it's like, why y'all fucking keep fucking with that girl? Like, you know, so, but I'm not an animal. I'm not a savage. I'm still a woman. I have breakdowns. Trust me, they're just not usually on Facebook. Everything on Facebook sounds like it's anger, but who's anger's cousin? Hurt. Hurt is anger's cousin. People don't get angry. You know, nobody just wakes up and is fucking mad. You know what I mean? Unless you're like the Grinch. But, you know, and sometimes I do wake up and I'm agitated, but I'm agitated for a reason. There's plenty of things I wake up and I'm agitated about, like basketball player-wise, writing books, talking about, you know, how to be a businesswoman and how to be a queen. What the fuck you talking about? You had like four kids to this motherfucker before he even married you, and now you want to write a book to tell motherfucking me how to be a businesswoman? Motherfucker, like your man makes like $100 million a year. And you just now married him, and, like, your oldest is 10. Shut the fuck up. Don't tell me nothing. You know, you shut up. You don't tell me nothing. We got a caller, and if this is who I think it is, I'm going to be excited because it is from Canada. Caller, are you there? This is D. Scott.
This is Zach from ZB Customs.
Hi, Zach. How are you? I want you to introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi there, I'm Zach Vine. I'm the artist behind ZV Customs, doing custom sneakers up here in Canada.
Okay, and tell everybody where we met.
We met this weekend at the Soul Exchange event in Toronto. It was a great event, one of Canada's biggest sneaker events, and I flew all the way from the West Coast back to the cold here in Southern Ontario for it, just to showcase off some of my custom kicks.
Now, when you say you flew from the West Coast, you're talking about Vancouver, right? Or you flew in from Cali?
No, I'm in Vancouver most of the time. I like to get down to Cali a lot, but I spend most of my time in Vancouver. I'm living there pretty much full time
now. When we say Canada, the West Coast, that's what we mean. Now, how long was the flight, and what were you trying to accomplish? I mean, because for obvious reasons, you unveiled the six gods in Toronto, for obvious reasons. But
exactly.
What was your motivation? Did you bring other kicks with you? Because those are the only ones that I saw.
Yeah, I brought some other kicks with me. I'm part of a pro team here in Canada. We're kind of like the Air Legends of the North here. It's Northern Souls. And I wanted to come and join the other members of the Northern Souls team because I'm the only guy out west in Vancouver. Everybody else is here in Toronto. And I'm from Toronto, so I thought it was a great opportunity to get back home and show some love to my home city. So I brought some of my stuff back. And, like, everybody does a little different thing. I like to do some fine art on my customs and, like, heavy detail work. So I thought I would come back and showcase some of my kicks off. So.
Now, if you guys want to see the six gods, what I'm talking about, you can go on my Instagram page, @miss.d.scott. My Instagram, again, is @miss.d.scott. Now, one of the things, now, what would a pair of those go for? So I didn't realize, because I wasn't into the sneaker culture, and I actually just did a post about the fact that I didn't realize that it was such a big and lucrative, it's actually like a cult, it's like a lifestyle. So what would a pair of the six gods sixes cost?
Around $1,000 for the six god sixes. So I
so
charge anywhere between $800. I've been paid up to $2,000 for some of my customs.
Really? Now, see, you and I are pretty much on the same level right now because I started out doing just I couldn't give them away fast enough when it was no money, and now that you know they're starting to see people wearing them, I do customs first, and then what you see on my website, which is www.stayinyourlane123.com, those are all just like the basic tees and all that other stuff, but I do a lot of customs, and it's the same thing. You can charge a certain amount when it's custom because they know it's a one-of-a-kind piece and nobody's going to have it. So now
exactly.
How do you do that? Would you ever mass-produce the Six God or any other sneaker?
I have done a couple mass productions. There was a model in California. Her name was Laurel Ann, and she asked me to do some kicks for her for a photo shoot in Ink Dolls magazine that just came out this month, and I did some Indianapolis Colt sixes for her. And after those went in the magazine and she posts those, I got so many requests for those that I ended up doing five pairs of those now, and I still got more requests coming in. I try to get away from doing
amazing.
The logos too much, but most of my
Because you don't
want to
get a copyright issue, and
Exactly, yeah. And the fact that I like to challenge myself, I like to challenge my art. I found that if I do stuff like logos, I have other people who will try to copy my work or offer to do my work for cheaper. So I try to stay with the one of one stuff and just try to do heavy detail and almost challenge people to try to copy my stuff.
And we talked about that because one of the things is that, you know, everybody has a t-shirt line. And, you know, it's funny because I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do to make myself different? This is business 101. So I'm like, okay. But then I said, well, you know what? Let's look at the price point. You know, let's look at the fact that some people, you know what I mean, don't want to spend $100 on a sweatshirt. And
yeah.
So some people don't have to have that sweatshirt. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth.
But
that's
if
the
I'm
truth,
spending,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, if I'm spending a certain amount for it to be made and it's high-quality custom things, it's not a Hanes Fruit of the Loom shirt, and I've never had a complaint yet, and it's custom work if you want your name or if you want something else on it, and it's a certain type of printing, because everybody got into the, you know, the heat transfer,
yeah.
Which at first I almost bought into that, but then when you look at the silk screen, it's such a tried-and-true process. It's so much more professional. Looking, you know, and some of my, you know, and then I do embroidered stuff as well with my distributor that's based out of Detroit. But I find that, you know, all you need is just that one, you know, person. So it's not even a marketing budget anymore. It's just like, here, you want this? Here, you wear it. Tag me in it. And then from there, that's where, you know what I mean? So
that's
you got
the truth,
all
yeah.
that publicity in the, yeah, so I don't mind, you know, sending somebody a customer or whatever, and then they order the next one or they get one for their mans and them, and then, you know, that's how we keep it G. Then, you know, the marketing budget goes from, you know, having to be $20,000 to let me just spend, you know, $1,000 and send everybody these shirts that they requested,
exactly.
And then we'll do it from there. So the internet is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, what's on the horizon for you and your team? Now, are you going to try to do, do you have an online shop that you're trying to do, or?
I do. You know what? A lot of my stuff is over Instagram right now. I mean, I thank
okay.
Instagram for everything, because that's what really kind of started my business off, and
absolutely.
Most of my orders still come through Instagram, but I got my website up and going. But mostly it's DMs. I mean, a lot of us custom artists, we post all of our stuff on Instagram and talk to each other on there. So it's an easy way to get a hold of most of the artists, is just to send them a direct message over Instagram. But, yeah, I want to start a shop up on my webpage where you can order directly and everything. But in terms of what I'm aiming for the future, right now I've been doing a lot of stuff for athletes. So I've been working really close with the
mm-hmm.
Cincinnati Reds. I've done a couple of things with them.
I'm like, mm-hmm.
And actually, Aaron Brooks of the Chicago Bulls recently reached out to me, and he wants some custom KD7s. So I like to do it for the athletes, because they showcase it off, and then people see it, and it just kind of grows and grows from there. So I'm hoping to do a lot more athletes, a lot more rappers and stuff, because they always
yeah.
want custom kicks for their performances on stage and everything. So that's where I'm hoping to take the business from here. And, I mean, I think the Northern Souls team is on that exact same tip where,
now,
you know,
have you heard of, what's his name, Delano, the guy that draws the roses on every fucking thing? He was
yeah,
doing stuff for Durant. You know who I'm talking about? And he just
yeah,
did a little
course.
Something with Red Bull and, you know, all that other stuff. And now, what do you think of something like that? Do you think, because, I mean, he did, like, he does the Tims, the custom Tims, same price point, around $800 or $900 for the Tims or whatever. So what do you think about doing something, because that's, like, his signature, like, when you see that, you know that that's Delano. I had to stop following him. He was too fucking arrogant. I couldn't. I was just like, are you kidding? No, because I'm an artist, too. I love, you know, not painting, but, you know, there's just certain shit that's none of my business, and it's too much. You just got
yeah.
here. Have several seats and calm down, because in 2.5 seconds, men might not want to wear roses any fucking more. You need to calm the fuck down.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I had to stop
following
him.
He
was way too arrogant.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's easy for the fame to get to your head, though, quickly. I mean, I had Aroldis Chapman, the fastest pitcher in the world. He ordered some of my shoes, and then he flew me into Cincinnati, and, I mean, he's driving
yeah.
me around in the Lambo and everything, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, it takes a bit just to be humble, but you're completely right. I really want to start doing my own kind of style. I mean, I look up to guys like John Bourne, who is out of Atlanta, and he lives in Miami now. He does
we'll
custom
be in Atlanta
in
2 weeks, yeah.
He's one of my favorite artists right now, and he has his
really?
Own style, and it's not like anybody else, what anybody else is doing. I really admire him, and he's a great dude. He's really humble. I mean, whenever I have questions or anything for him, or, you know, I can reach out to him, and he always responds. He's just a great dude, and, like, he's somebody I look up to, because, like I say, he has his own style. He's even been doing custom Bentleys and everything these days. So,
oh,
I mean,
snap.
Yeah, he does,
oh,
he does
wow.
some really, really cool art. It's like a cubism kind of art. And I'm like, I just, you look at somebody like that who has their own their own ability and their just their own method of doing things, and that's kind of where I want to go with this. And like, I'm fairly new in the game. I used to do a lot of stuff like youth work, inner city youth work, and those are the kids that got me into this.
Oh,
so I'm
wow.
kind of fresh. I've only been doing this for about 4 or 5 years now, so I'm still trying to find my way and find my own methods and everything.
Yeah, and
like
let me segue off that. So a lot of people, like when you say I haven't been doing this long, and then you say I've only been doing this 4 or 5 years, a lot of people don't understand that my business model was a 3-year plan. So I knew that the first year out, which the first year, zero fucks, my brand, which is, you know, everything you saw me out on pretty much from head to toe, and I'll have to get you some of that gear as well. But
yeah.
The zero fucks brand, yeah, the zero, and it comes in all, you know, and I customize. See, that's what I'm like that, like where with customization, it's like I can see a person say, this is what this person likes to wear. Let me custom do some shit. So whether it's basketball shorts or, you know, a baseball jacket, you know, kind of like what you were saying with, you know, the athletes and the Cincinnati Reds and things like that, that's my same demographic. So we missed South by Southwest this year, and that's definitely somewhere that you need to look into going to Austin, Texas next year to present. And also definitely, because you're an artist, you need to be at Art Basel this year in Miami. That is like, do you know, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't, but I mean, I love Miami, so anytime I get down there, I'll be
there.
You
have to go. It's the first week in December, and we'll link up with that on the side, because I'll actually be trying to be a vendor this year. We'll be down there for vacation, of course, but you get kind of more backstage stuff when you're a vendor, because then it's like, well, I'm a vendor, of course I'm over here. But you definitely need to display down there, because it is they do this. This is the second largest one. The largest Art Basel is actually in Germany, I believe. So yeah, it's like a big serious thing. They have like, it's the whole beach is locked off. You know, this is when they were saying that Diddy slapped Drake in the face. It was during Art Basel. So it's this huge, and you're talking about, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of art. You're not talking about like a museum exhibit where it's like, don't touch anything. No, no, no. If you go on Instagram and you hashtag Art Basel, ArtBasel, you will see like all the amazing things that came out there. And I know that Champagne Candle Company, which is, it's a company that I deal with out of Tampa, and they cut champagne bottles and they make them into candles. They displayed there, you know what I mean? So
Wow. You
have everybody from Hebrew Brantley, which that's my favorite artist right now. He reminds you of a more modern day clean line Basquiat. He draws all the little kids as superheroes. So
Oh, yeah. He
is amazing. And he's based out of Chicago. So Hebrew Brantley, big, tall, you know, nice looking black guy. He's amazing. So he, you know, got his start down there. Same thing. I think Jay-Z bought one of his works. He also does statues. So he did like these huge 6-foot statues of like whatever it was, plexiglass or whatever, and Nicki Minaj bought one, and then he just took off from there. So, and he's been all over
Wow.
the world. So that's kind of how, and it's the same thing with Instagram. You know, if you go back on his Instagram just even a couple years, that's why I think it's important for people to understand that. A lot of people, you know, they said, oh, you know, well, there's a lot of, it's competitive. I'm like, it's not competitive for me, because not a lot of people have a movement like I do, because it's not just Zero Fucks University, it's Team Zero Fucks, and it's Zero Fucks Nation. Zero Fucks Nation is all my, you know, camo stuff, my red, white, and blue stuff. My Team Zero Fucks is all my merchandise that's centered around sports. So I do a hockey jersey, I do a baseball jersey, I just did football jerseys for a downtown LA store, you know, and did some customs for a, you know, couture designer, as well as, believe it or not, a drag queen, you know what I mean, who has
Wow.
a following that's ridiculous over in Europe. She's, you know, he is one of these, like, man, he was on, like, RuPaul's Drag Show, but who knew that, you know what I'm saying, that was a tappable market. And so
for
I'm
sure.
always, that's why I unfollowed the one guy, because I said, you have to be careful who you offend these days and who, because you don't want to alienate a certain sector of people. You know, so even though I'm not a sneakerhead by any means, hell yeah, I would love to have a pair of sneakers that say zero fucks on them. You know,
no,
or
I'm gonna
you
hook
paint
you up for
because,
sure.
yeah, or you paint, because my son had a pair of custom Chucks done, but she didn't paint them. It was like a image that she put on the tongue of the sneaker. But my son that you met also wrote a book. So on the book, the amazing imagery was done by Darren, who is with I Rock I Party here in Buffalo, New York. So he did this amazing thing where it looked like
my son had like stars and all this stuff going through his big curly afro, and then he has like a little Basquiat type crown on. And so he took that image. Now that image on a pair of sneakers would be amazing. You know, my son already has a pair of customs, but nothing like this. So like I said, I don't know what sneakers should I choose. I like black sneakers too.
Black sneakers.
So
well, you know, I do color change.
I don't know anything about Jordan.
You know, I like to work with leather because, like you were saying with the Chucks, a lot of people can customize
leather.
Chucks just by, you know, you can take them into even retailers and they can screen print something on there, you know, computer generated
stuff
like that.
No, I definitely would want to do a leather.
Yeah,
I definitely want to do something
leather.
Mean,
personally, I like working with the threes. I like the elephant print on the Jordan threes and stuff like that. You can really
Jordan
make 3, cool
now
colorways. Yeah, and they got a great like you know, leather face on them on the sides. So a lot of big canvas to work with and everything there. So
okay.
Those and the sixes. The sixes are hot because they got such a big canvas to work on. So either of those two, I really really enjoy working on. But I mean, there's these fives coming out in the next month, and the metallic fives. They're all white, and I cannot wait to get my hands on those because like a big white
really?
Canvas like that, I just love working with.
And what are you gonna put on them? What do you think you would put on them?
I don't know. Sometimes I like when people just let me freestyle away. I like stuff like,
me too.
I mean, it was
I
the
agree.
Kids in Jungle in Toronto, Lawrence Heights. Shout out to Lawrence Heights in Toronto. Like, those are the kids that got me into kicks in the first place. I mean, it was them that were scuffing up their kicks, and they'd be getting into fights. And I'm a youth worker. I'm a gang interventionist trying to, like, calm these kids down, and they're all getting all hyped up over just scuffs on their kicks. And then I started cleaning those up. And that's how I got into the whole thing. So I like doing stuff for the hood, you know, like that's kind of, and I love rap, I love ball. So like, that's kind of the stuff I like to go with.
You know what's interesting about this whole interaction is, did you know that my editor and I, that he also works with youth and he has an intervention program and I also mentor young girls? You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know any of
that,
no.
Part of the conversation. That's crazy that you were a youth worker and that's how you got into this. Is working
yeah.
with kids because, and maybe that was, you know what I mean? So I always look at the universe opening up and making opportunities like that. And plus, I knew Jaffe from Young Jaffe, shout out to him in Soul Exchange Canada, in Soul Exchange Toronto. But I definitely, as soon as I walked in, I just felt the love. He's like, is that Miss D. Scott? So it makes me feel good when I'm able to walk into a ballroom in Canada or I'm able to walk into a boutique in L.A. And because my Instagram presence, some of the things I say, some of the things I do, some of the things I post, precedes me. They know who I am in the blonde hair, I'm sure, you know, because there's a whole bunch of people walking around with blonde hair. I doubt it. But look, wearing zero fucks gear, you know. But I definitely, you know, I definitely see us trying to, you know, get things together. Now, how long are you going to be in Toronto?
I'm flying back out west on Wednesday, so in 2 days. I'm not here long
okay.
at all. I got a meeting tomorrow with the people who are doing the Pan Am Games. They've asked me to do some custom kicks for the Pan Am Games. So actually, you know what? Funny enough, I picked to do the United States. So I'm going to be doing some states themed Pan Am Game kicks. Yeah, for that, they're going to be on display here in Toronto.
The Pan Am Games chose you to do the kicks for the states. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited about that for sure. So that's going to be a nice little challenge. So I'm meeting with the Pan Am Games people tomorrow, and then I'm heading back out west because I got to get ready for SneakerCon down in San Francisco on May 3rd. So I got to get some kicks together for
now,
that. I'm a diehard Niners fan.
Now tell people what this life is like for you, because a lot of people don't understand that, like, a lot of the money that we make comes from these conventions. So, yeah, you know, you're putting up, especially for something like South by Southwest or something like that, $1,800 or $2,000. But if you sell out, you stand to make, you know, eons more. So is that what you're doing right now? You'll make money on one thing, then you say, okay, I have enough money, I need to go to SneakerCon because this is where. So is that what you're doing now, kind of like your world tour, like your marketing tour?
You know what, it's my sponsor. My sponsor is amazing, Phoenix Paint. They used to be Turtle Feathers. They just transferred and started a new supply chain called Phoenix Paint, and they supply us with all of our stuff. And they're the ones that really push me to go to these events and stuff like that, because you're right. I mean, you go to a sneaker con, and all of a sudden, like, the
oh my god,
you know,
yeah.
your audience just grows by tenfold at these events. And like you say, you know, it cost me a couple of bucks to get there, but if I sell two pairs of shoes there, then I've already covered my cost, and then just the amount of orders that come in from those events make it well worth my time. So, and the fact that like I don't put like my face on my Instagram, so I don't put my name associated with it really. I just want my art to speak for itself. So when I go to these events, people are like, oh, who's ZV Customs? I want to see ZV Customs and everything, right? So it's kind of cool just so that I can be there and meet my followers, my fans and stuff like that, and kind of get that more personal interaction with them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Now, you're going to do, so now after SneakerCon, where can they find you? So you do a lot of stuff in the States.
I do a lot of stuff up and down the West Coast. I'm always in Seattle because I'm so close to Seattle and Vancouver there. And I'm always down in Portland. Portland's got the craziest sneaker culture going on because you got the Nike headquarters there, Adidas headquarters.
Oh my gosh. That
is
right. Yeah.
It is crazy.
Nike headquarters
in Portland.
Is there.
Shout out to Portland. I love going down there. Nike holds me down.
Look,
I love those guys.
Now I got to get with you to get the plug to get to Portland, because the same people that buy your custom stuff, they buy my custom stuff too. So the same demographic, that South by Southwest, this age to this age. But then my brand is more than just Zero Fucks. I also own affiliates. I also own, which is spelled WAFILIATES, and I also own Corporate Thug. And then my son, he has his own line, LHM, which is Little Hope Mess, because my brand itself is called Miss Hope Mess. But it came out of the fact, because I'm an author. I've written like 6 books, and I ghostwrite for people. So from there, people say, oh, you should put that on a shirt. That was funny as hell what you just said. You should put that on a shirt. So I did. And then I tried to give them away. Nobody wanted them. So my brand has only been in existence a year in January. So now we're going on year 2, and already, you know, the momentum, you know, we're in a store in L.A. from that sneaker convention, Soul Exchange. I'm now doing a pop-up shop at the end of April with one of, you know, the store owners that was there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then from there, you know, which one of the things I wanted to do this year was get my brand into Canada, because clearly, just like you with Vancouver in Seattle, I'm in Toronto all the time. People think I live there. I'm like, it's right there. It's like right across the bridge. So I'm there all the time. So, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't present at this event, because I wanted to go see first. Then, you know, this year I was going to do the dub show too, but, you know, because I book at numbers. So I'm always looking at the demographic, who's buying, what kind of disposable income do they have, because obviously, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go somewhere like to somebody's like carnival and people are paying $20 to get in just to ride rides and I'm selling shirts. That's not, you know what I'm saying? My brand is a little bit different. And plus, it's not, you know, some people would say it's not appropriate for kids. I think it is. If your kid knows what that says, that's great. School works.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, school works. But I'm trying to think, like I said, I definitely want to get together and do a pair of sneakers. Or, you know, shit, I might even find some boots for you.
Yeah, I would love
to
start doing boots.
Do a custom
paint. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
anything leather.
Dope.
I want to, like, I almost want to get away from doing the kicks and Jordans as much. Don't get me wrong, I love, as a sneakerhead, I love doing custom kicks. But, I mean, there's so much more you can do, you know. Like, for instance, my girl, she's got a... Yeah, she's got her birthday coming up, so I'm gonna take one of her Michael Kors bags and I'm gonna do a little up like custom for her, put her kid's face on it and everything.
Lord.
Like
does
that,
she know?
You know?
Does she know you're gonna take one of her bags?
Oh, of course. Like I say, I want to start doing tons of different things. You know, I want to start doing women's boots.
Dope.
I want to start doing bags, backpacks, anything. You know, even I had a guy call me the other day. He asked me if I could customize his Harley. He wanted me to do all the leather on his Harley. So, I mean, lots of stuff to do. It's pretty cool.
Are you going to do it?
Oh, of course.
Are you
going to
do it?
How can I say no? Yeah, I always like to challenge myself. So, I mean, this summer he's out of North Dakota. And I told him, I'm like, well, you either got to fly me to North Dakota to work on this thing or you got to send me all the pieces. So we're working on that right now because he wants his seat done. He wants his jacket done. He wants, like, that side bag done.
Well, you know that's how a lot of – and, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Sue Sai, T-S-A-I. She's the one that did Wale's album cover with the girl that – the cartoon girl that was, like, blowing her head out, but it was hearts when it came out.
Yeah, I don't know the artist, but I definitely know the art for sure.
Yeah, Sue Sai. Yeah, that's Sue Sai. She's based out of New York, and she's a little Asian girl. She's real cute. She also just did his new album cover. Well, she's now doing the backpacks, the Celine bags. They're all – her and Hebe Brantley did, a special Celine bag, and, you know, that's thousands. But – I don't know if they took it from somebody, so I would be interested. So you're on the right path because this is what they're doing. They did, she did like one of those MCM type luggage, but it wasn't MCM. It was another off-brand designer. But the duffel bag is $500, and the backpack is $3.
Yeah.
Just because she, you know, and I don't know that it's hand painted. I know that maybe she, you know, hand painted it at one point, and then they took a screen of that and then put it on stuff. But I mean, it's definitely worth it. Now, are you going to try to get into doing stuff like that, like on canvas or like for the bags and things like that?
For the bags and stuff, I don't know. I really haven't thought too much about it. I mean, I'm so inundated right now with shoes that I just kind of like when people come to me with emails and they're just like, yo, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, finally I can get away. You know, I can just put the shoe boxes aside for a second and just try something new. It just kind of gives my mind a bit of a break, you know. Like I said, I like to keep challenging myself.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I haven't
it's
thought too much
thing.
into like the, you know, the business aspect of doing that, all that kind
right.
of stuff. I just, it's more just the artist in me that just wants to explore a bit, but... To be honest with you, that's my bread and butter. I just love working with the kicks and stuff, you know what I mean? But like you say, you need a break from it sometimes.
Yeah, it's just like me, like when we do a ghostwrite. You know, some people, I can do their ghostwrite, you know, for a very, very low price because I just want to get that book out and because I want to, you know what I mean, continue,
mm-hmm.
you know, using my craft. It doesn't matter what I'm writing. And then some people, they have to pay out the yin-yang because they're not writers. I know I'm not going to get a series out of it. I know that I'm not going to get, you know what I mean, certain
yeah.
things. And I don't take people's royalties after my work is done. It's like I charge what I charge up front and then I'm, you know, and then I'm done. So it's kind of like the same concept. So what you and I will do, because I'm getting ready to end the show, so it was glad to have you on. What you and I will do is we will keep in contact, and I'm probably going to be stalking you from now for the next 6 months until I figure out what I want you to draw on for me. Because now I'm like, oh, wait, I'm like, ooh, wait, maybe he can do me a duffel bag. Don't play with
yeah.
me. I'll go buy a leather duffel bag and send you that joint and bring it. But see, for me, I do a lot of product placement. So if you look at my page, I'm always shouting people out. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a little bracelet that somebody, you know, made out of leather and they want me to have it. You know, I'll go because I go out of town every month. And so this next trip, I'm getting ready to go to Atlanta. And one of my biggest demographic checkers is the airport. That's where I wear a lot of my shit first and then see what people's reactions are or see, you know what I mean, how
yeah,
they're receiving, you know, the corporate thug tea. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, now the only thing that I'm missing really is a piece of luggage that's kind of like, wow, where'd you get that from? You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to do the Louis Vuitton because half that shit is so fake. You know
yeah.
what I mean? That it's like,
yeah.
even if I had a real one, it's like, am I going to get credit for it? So
it
I don't. Might. I know, right? Like, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to be like everybody else. And it was funny because last year at Essence Fest, we were stuck in an airport, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, dude, he has on, like, the MCM hat, the MCM sneakers, the MCM duffel bag, the MCM backpack. Like, I can't. The MCM 22-inch roller. I'm like, dude, you got about, like, $10,000 with the MCM, and you want me to believe with your $3 outfit that this is all real. I'm like, I can't. So I might be
exactly.
sending you a duffel bag. That's what I might do, but I got to figure out what I want on this. So it might be a duffel bag or a backpack, and then we'll start
yeah.
there. Because that's something that I would use every day, all day. Because I go to Fashion Week. That's another thing. Hey, you got a great advertiser right here. I go to Fashion Week. I just was there in September. We didn't go to the one in February because it was too cold. It was Valentine's Day. And then on top of that, it was All-Star break.
Yeah,
you know,
course,
sometimes yeah, that's too much. And I'm not really, you know, I'm gonna get beat up for saying this, but I'm not really a basketball fan. I'm not a sports fan. I know a lot of players, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I don't go to games.
Yeah.
I'm not like, you know. So I'm not really into that whole culture. So that's why the sneaker convention was just really amazing for me because I'm like, whoa, you know. But, Zach, it was great having you on the show. Now I got to write down your number. Now I got your number. Is this the number to reach you on, the one you called in on?
No, this is just my landline right now. But I'll DM you
okay,
my personal number
yeah,
for sure.
Just DM me the number so that I can lock you in, and then we'll go ahead and we'll try to get this. And, again, you know, it might just be like a, hey, I'll send you something if you're out of town and they want one of those, and I can send that to them as well because I like
for
to
sure.
customize my stuff. So we put your name on it. So that's how a lot of people don't understand. Like, in this industry, you really can't afford to burn too many bridges or, you know, leave any stones unturned because you never know where your next, you know, $10,000 is coming from.
Exactly.
You know
that's
what I
the
mean?
Truth. For sure.
But
yeah,
it
definitely.
It was great having you on the show. Tell everybody where they can meet you, where they can, you know, they can go on and see some of your stuff. Give them your IG, your Twitter if you have it.
Yeah, yeah. So you can find me. All my stuff actually is on Instagram, and that's at ZV Customs. ZV is ZEEVY Customs. My website is www.zvcustoms.com. Email is zvcustoms@gmail.com. And, I'm on my phone all day, every day. So, I mean, I'm
and
like to reply.
And let them know
thing,
that going
so.
Forward in the future, they can also go under my hashtag, which is hashtag affiliated or affiliate. So it's the AAFILIATED. You guys can also find him under my stuff because I'll be hashtagging some of his stuff, Zero Fucks or affiliated. You can go on my page at MissD.Scott again, or you can go on my Twitter, which is at DMSST93, and you can find him there. So, Zach, it was great talking to you. We're going to get into the gangster shit now as I end the show.
Thank
early.
You so much.
You just made my night. I was all, like, boo-hoo crying because it was, you know, my mom's birthday today. My mom wouldn't have worn no custom kicks, though. She was a shoe lady. So you just made my night, and I'm glad that we linked up with you. Affiliated, we're good now. Good luck with the Pan Am Games. But I'm going to reach out to you probably tomorrow, and then we'll start trying to get some things because I'm seeing a backpack or a duffel in my future. I really
beautiful,
am.
Beautiful, yeah. Sounds great.
All right, well, thank you so much for calling.
Like I don't know. I could change if I want to, but I won't though. Do it right even when I'm on the wrong road. Real talk from the heart, what I'm known for. Skinny Jane, I don't do though. I'm the starter, still a part of the shoot foe. Fully automatic chopper, you can shoot though. Now I'm moving 5 mil when I shoot though. Audemars, Hublot, 1.5 on the 2 though. Old hustle, new flow. Old money, new hoe. Suck a friend, I'ma chill, but I'm too cold. Long as I'm around, fuck they need you for. Riding in the Chevy, toe free, breathe. Okay. Since nobody wanna make you
just
shit.
For the gangsters, just for the pimps and hoes. Yes, it is, yeah. Just for the dope, for the trappers selling halves and hoes.
Since nobody wanna make you chopper, make you run for the camouflage, dog tag. Follow when you see me, better haul ass. Keep it G at all costs, what you call that? Hey. Crack, rock, hip hop, I done all that. Okay. Certified trap nigga, suck a fall back. A broke nigga, he may entertain all that. All left fail, keep it true, nigga. True. Say the flash and the dance for a new nigga. Keep speaking for the ones who ain't got a voice. Kill them dead only when they need no other choice. You ain't down to die about it. Don't waste my time, slime. Why the fuck we talking about it? Still riding in the Chevy, tow three bricks. Just nobody wanna make you shit.
I'm
fucking gangster, and I'll still wreck your whole fucking life verbally. But thank you for Zach for being on the show. It's so good to talk to other entrepreneurs that are letting people know that, you know, it's about longevity in any business that you're in. And back to segue to what I was saying is that, you know, if I'm on a 3-year plan, that means I have 3 years to, you know, make more than what I'm putting out in a business. I'm always about business. And so, yeah, I gotta eat crow, you know, the first year just to break even. And I, like I said, you know, and I said a stat the other day, I remember when I couldn't give away zero fuck shit. The font was wrong. The stitching was wrong. The shirt company I was using was wrong. The type of print I was using was wrong. So as I started designing and getting more into that, and people started wanting to wear it, and then I started wanting to wear it, and y'all know I don't really, you know, I'm not really into the sweatsuit situation. I'll wear some sweatpants with heels, but what a lot of people don't understand is that if I'm profiting, you know, within my first year, you're doing great. And so the fact that he's still acknowledging that, hey, I just started out, and it was 5 years ago, and this is a young guy. This isn't, you know, somebody that's in his 40s. You know, this guy's young. He's in his 20s. You know, and he said by working with youth in the inner city, which is how he started loving sneakers, and he would clean the sneakers up for them. So that's where that level of gratitude comes in. He said, whenever I get the opportunity, I'm always doing something for the hood. You understand what I'm saying? And I am that way as well. However, sometimes the hood don't fuck with you like that. So sometimes you have to leave the hood alone. And I'm glad that he learned that the easy way and not the hard way. And he's on his way to SneakerCon, and he's doing stuff out in Oregon with Nike and different baseball teams and the Pan Am Games. I mean, I don't know if y'all know, but that's huge. The Pan Am Games is huge. You know, the fact that you have baseball players flying you in to do custom pairs of sneakers for you, you know, for them, and riding around in Ferraris and all this other stuff, and different basketball players flying you in, and then somebody flying you in to do a Harley, that's living out your dreams. And that was him being able to self-actualize and figure out what it was he wanted to do and tap into a market where no one else was going to be able to do that. And then for him to be in Inked Dolls magazine with this girl, and then, you know, with those custom Colts sneakers on, that's amazing too. And so a lot of times people got to understand, it's not about me giving anything to anybody. I don't give anybody shit. Trust and believe me when I tell you that people are giving me money, or they're giving me shine some type of way. Nobody eats for free off D. Scott. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to my business, because I wouldn't be able to afford to stay in business. But thank you guys for listening to my boohoo, boo-boo kitty, you know, situation. But you know what? It just goes to prove to you, I'm human, I'm fucking real, and that's what it is. And, you know, I'm just blessed, and I'm blessed to have people that are around me that make it so that it's easier, so that I don't have to carry the burden of the world all the time. And I, you know, I'm unscripted. I don't come on this muffler. I don't even have a list when I come on here. I just talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk. And so some of my shows are fucking horrible, and you're just like, what the hell are you talking about? And then some of them, I'm like, wow, that was some profound shit. Let me write that down and make a Facebook status. But thank you guys for tuning in. The show was called Dear Mama. Thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we're going to do a quick Tell the Truth Tuesday. I'm in a much better place now that I got that out. Thank you, and thank Tito's Vodka. And again, you know, you never know with me. Ain't no telling when you listen to one of my shows. Ain't no telling if I'm a cuss motherfucker out, or if I'm a, you know, breakdown crying. But you probably won't hear the crying shit again for a while. Woo!
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah.
Envelopes coming in the mail. Letter open. I'm hoping for a check again. Ain't no telling. Yeah. Invite me to the telly, keep the blade with me when I go to check a bitch, ain't no telling. Yeah, police coming round looking for some help on a case that got a solve. We never help them. Yeah, I stay up late at night thinking about my life. On a lie, will I get it all? Ain't no telling. Ain't no telling. Yeah, ain't no telling. Yeah,
no telling. Ain't no telling. Suitcase, I've been living out a suitcase. Still drinking any, if it's done, I say the deuce. Fuck it, all you niggas two-faced. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. True say, I've been going hard, but then again, they think I'm soft, think I'm innocent. I'm just looking in the mirror like I'm really him. Man, I'm really him, you just feeling in. Man, I got a blunt, can I get a light? Yeah, I took the summer off, get it right. Yeah, I get it, was a shot, and they fucking fail. Niggas
like you took the summer off, we couldn't tell. Dog, just bought an island, got a sale to it. You picked the casket, I put the nail to it. I ain't gotta do it, but fuck it, somebody gotta do it. Hate if someone else did it, fuck, I may as well do it.
Envelopes coming in the mail, letter open, I'm hoping for a check again, ain't no telling. Yeah, she invite me to the telly, keep the blade with me when I go to check a bitch, ain't no telling. Yeah, police coming round looking for some help on a case that got a solve. We never help them. Yeah, I stay up late at night thinking about my life, on a lie, will I get it all, ain't no telling. Ain't no telling. Yeah, ain't no telling. Yeah,
no telling. Ain't no telling. Yeah, okay, I had to switch the flow up on you niggas. Shit was getting too predictable. Yeah, the new shit is on steroids. I would never pass a physical. Yeah, I got it rolling in all kind of ways, lump sum and residual. Yeah, I mean, we hear about the money you've been giving, we just never seen a visual. It's all, yeah. All, yeah. I mean, besides Ricky Ross, Aubrey, the biggest balls here. Word these days, bunch of niggas chasing after all these women they don't even know. Bunch of out of season women, fucking off season niggas to get last season wardrobe. All the rappers that you vouch for need to get out of the house before they washed up. And even if the team was religious with it, I can't really see another squad try to cross us.
All
the
unruly. One shot to make it in our life, from the 6 to the fucking 8, 7, 6.
I know
envelopes coming in the mail, letter open, I'm hoping for a check again, ain't no telling. Yeah, she invite me to the telly, keep the blade with me when I go to check a bitch, ain't no telling. Yeah, police coming round looking for some help on a case that got a solve, we never help them. Yeah, I stay up late at night thinking about my life, on a lie, will I get it all, ain't no telling. Ain't no telling. Yeah, ain't no telling. Yeah,
no telling.
I gotta keep watching for oppas, cause anything's possible, yeah. It's no code of ethics out here, anyone will take shots at you, yeah. Niggas think they could come take what I got, let's be logical, yeah. V-Live, I order that Alfredo pasta, they eat in the kitchen like I'm in the mafia. Houston, they get me though, European, my vehicle. How much it hit me for, ain't no telling, yeah. What am I willing to give her to get what I want tonight, ain't no telling. Please do not speak to me like I'm that Drake from 4 years ago. I'm at a higher place. Thinking they lions and tigers and bears. I go hunting, put hands on my fireplace. Oh my, take time. Ain't no telling. Yeah. Oh my, ain't no telling.